definition is as follows. Any of the various shaped planes or missiles allegedly flying at high speeds and altitudes. Whether or not the military is ready to admit their presence, flying saucers are with us and have been for many, many years. See Chapter 1 of my book, Flying Saucerama. Astute men of authority have gone on record as being among those in the world that have admitted the presence and reality of the unidentified flying objects. Men such as Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, who said, "Flying saucers are real." Too many good men have seen them, men that do not have hallucinations. Henry J. Taylor asserts that during his research to determine whether flying saucers actually do exist, and if so, where they have come from. He says, "I was actually stumped by the conflicting reports of eyewitnesses until I found there are two mysteries in our skies instead of one. One mystery involves our development of secret weapons, but the other is not revealed by an earthly interpretation." Air Chief Marshal Lord Dowding, Commander-in-Chief of the Royal Air Force, states, "I am convinced that these objects do exist. They are not manufactured by any nation of this earth." The United States Air Force, to this date, has denied the very existence of flying saucers. Therefore, the term unidentified flying objects has been introduced and carried through. They evidently are not too certain as to the whys and wherefores. Or are they? Major Donald Keough, director of the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena in Washington, of which I was also a member, has made a thorough investigation of this subject. Major Keough, now retired, but still vigorous in this field, both for himself and the government, offers much information as a result of his investigation. He states that flying discs actually change colors in the sky, and it has been proven. To affirm this, he states, "During daytime periods, scores of metallic-looking discs have been seen to change color during maneuvers." One typical report, in 1950, described an encounter near Lewisburg, West Virginia. Two round, silvery discs had approached the city, then swung into a tight, fast circle. As the maneuvers began, both turned orange-red. When they straightened, reducing speed, the orange quickly faded and the disc resumed their normal silvery color. Also, be informed of the following event involving Captain Robert Adickes, a stocky ex-Navy pilot with 10 years' service with the TWA. I refer to the dramatic incident near South Bend, Indiana. On the night of April 27, 1950, at 8:25 p.m., with Captain Adickes in the left-hand seat of the TWA DC-3, over on the right sat Robert F. Manning, also a four-stripe captain, who was acting as first officer on this flight to Chicago. The DC-3, Flight 117, was cruising at 20,000 feet when a strange red light below and behind the airliner suddenly caught Manning's eye. Puzzled, Manning watched it close in, the light steadily growing in size. It was now an orange-red color, like a blob of hot metal sweeping through the night sky. Craning his neck, Manning looked down on a spherical shape which glowed brightly on top, its lower half in shadow. To Adickes, it looked like a huge red wheel rolling down a road. He banked toward it, but the disc instantly slid away, keeping the same distance. Again he tried with the same results. Calling the hostess, Gloria Hinshaw, Eddie Adickes told her to alert the passengers to make sure he had plenty of witnesses.